Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Joining us as he does every Friday at this time, Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard at 4 o'clock here on this station on Saturdays, and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, so I know you were very eager to see Shazam Fury of the Gods as a longtime fan of the character and as a comic shop, like, owner-operator for a while. I mean, just, you know, you're this guy, so yeah. How was it?
Well, again, prefacing it with the fact that I am this guy, and this is actually one of my favorite comic characters of all time, so I am predisposed to like the movie. I loved it. I had a lot of fun with it. It is not a perfect movie. You know, you could sit and nitpick it, but I just sat there and enjoyed every moment of it. I thought it had a lot of heart. I enjoyed the humor. I enjoyed the story. And, it was just great to spend some time with these characters again. I was a big fan of the first film, and I am a big fan of the second one as well. I didn't have a dull moment. I just had a great time at the movies.
Oh, man, that's good to hear. Well, now I'm eager to see it. So that's very, very good. Well, I won't take away from anything people might be expecting out of that movie, but good to hear a super positive review. We've also got...
Yeah, I would say try, if you haven't already been spoiled by the TV commercials, try to avoid the TV commercials because there's something in the movie that's a really fun surprise that I have heard is being spoiled by the current TV commercials.
I hate it when they do that. So, like, get me to know whether I want to watch the movie, but don't take away from the enjoyment of the movie itself in the ads is my philosophy. But, you know, they don't call me for advice on these things. Inside is also coming out this week. What's this?
Yeah, this is starring Willem Dafoe, and it's pretty much mostly like a one-hander. He plays an art thief who gets... his heist goes wrong and he's trapped in this this high-end penthouse with nothing but millions of dollars of great pieces of art. Then he's got to try to figure out how to survive while he's in there. There's nothing to eat and so he's locked down.
Okay.
You've got that that kind of high tension kind of thing going on, but with just this one person. It's getting okay reviews, running about 65% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. It reminds me of, in a completely different setting, the movie a few years ago, the guy who went hiking out in the desert and got caught in the crevice. Like that's the scenario, but instead of being stuck in the desert, he's stuck in a high end. Apartment somewhere.
Well, you're thinking of 127 Hours. Which
that's the one.
Was based on a true story. I don't think this is.
Yeah, right. No, he said exactly right. Moving on. That's also out this week.
Yeah, moving on. This is the second movie in a month or so to star Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, who I guess just decided they're just going to do everything together again. Like they, I guess it's not 9 to 5 is.
They're the new Richard Pryor and Gene Hackman, right?
Yeah. Yeah, to an extent. Richard Pryor, Gene Hackman for older ladies, I guess. Two very talented women, both Oscar winners. So, can't really argue too much with that. This is a comedy where they play two women who their best friend has recently passed, and they're trying to get revenge on their friend's husband or former husband. I'm not real clear, but apparently she had a not very good husband. And so they team up to get revenge on the husband, which does sound kind of 9 to 5-ish. Also,
it does a little bit sound familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. But not great. Not super great reviews on this either. Running about 65% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. And last one is A Snowy Day in Oakwood.
Yeah, not too much to say about this. This one has not been screened for critics. I don't necessarily think that's any indication of quality in this case, one way or the other. This is a film that seems primarily directed at the African-American market, and so sometimes those films just don't get get sent out to the critics because they have, you know, kind of like the same thing with faith-based films and some of the anime films and something like that. Some of this targeted stuff sometimes just doesn't get sent out for reviews. But this is about a woman who is a psychiatrist. She's been in a dead-end relationship with another psychiatrist, and she decides to end the relationship and move off and start a little practice at a little, you know, strip mall in Oakland. And kind of turns the community on its ear.
Very good. By the way, did I say Gene Hackman and Richard Pryor?
I think you did.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. My brain.
And
just,
somebody
texted me Gene Wilder, and I'm like, oh, my God,
yeah.
I didn't. No, I did.
Gene Wilder is a person.
That's funny. Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, 4 hours live radio every once in a while. What are you guys going to watch next week?
Gene Hackman and Richard Pryor may have made a movie together at some point. I just can't think of what.
Probably not the same. What are you guys watching next week, Julio?
I'm looking forward to another big sequel coming out next week, John Wick Part 4. So that very excited for that. We'll be checking that out at AMC Pensacola 18 on Thursday night.
Rated PG, I hear.
I highly doubt that.
Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola Saturdays at 4 o'clock here on News Radio, and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Find them and follow them on Facebook. As always, Julio, thanks for the time, and thanks for putting up with my mental glitch. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, Adrian.
All right. Traffic on the fives now with Gracie Wolf.
No slowdowns to report. I-10 and I-110 have posted speeds. We do have an accident on 98. This is going to be at Panhandle Trail, but we don't have any slowdowns because of it. If you see something else on the roads, make sure to give me a call to the traffic line. If you see an accident and have details, give me a call to 850-262-6111. And this report is sponsored by Discover. Discover credit cards do something awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double the cash back that you've earned. That's right. Everything that you've earned doubled. See the terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Beadmore Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Piedmore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in on Tuesday at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's Tuesday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, traditional washing machines. Yes, last month, President Biden's Department of Energy proposed new power and water efficiency standards for clothes washing machines that reduce their contributions to the global climate crisis. Although we certainly applaud this move, critics claim the machines will cost more to manufacture and, because they use less water and energy, the clothes will not be cleaned as well, meaning that people wearing them will basically be dirtier and smellier. But don't you see what a wonderful improvement this is? Just think of the pride you can take as you walk around in your off-white t-shirt and rank jeans, knowing that your aromatic effluvia are the demonstration to other people of your commitment to Mother Earth. In just the same way that Obama-era mandates to convert incandescent bulbs to the overly expensive, short-lived, and randomly dysfunctional LEDs gave us the opportunity to bask in the dim and flickering glow of our climate devotion, these new washing machines will usher in a bold new era of filth chic. For years, we've been trying to persuade Americans to embrace nature by abandoning their chemical cleaning products that stand defiantly against the glorious fragrance of natural smells, and to stop waging their futile war against the beautiful, long, flowing leg and armpit hair. Birkenstocks unite! And what if we really embraced technological retrogression? Rather than seeking washboard abs, we could instead learn to embrace actual washboards and the clotheslines for drying that would so proudly proclaim the greenness of our devotion in all of their self-congratulatory glory. So come with me, dear otherin, on the journey toward a climate-conscious lifestyle which is organic, authentic, soiled, and odoriferous. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, I want to take a moment to clarify our position on an important story in the news the past few days. Saturday Night Live featured a sketch poking fun at the heavy Irish accents of actors Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell, which made the dialogue in Banshees of Inisherin as opaque as a pint of Guinness. The sketch also joked about the well-documented fondness of the Irish for everything made out of alcohol. In response, Irish commentators complained that this was a form of racism, perpetuating ethnic slurs about the Irish, including that they are dirty, incoherent drunks who fight a lot and always forget where they buried their gold. But these responses truly misunderstand the concept of racism. It is literally impossible to be a racist when criticizing the Irish because, well, they're white. As McGillicuddy's fourth mumble from a Belfast dunk tank states, a joke which marginalizes another group of people on the basis of their race only expresses racism when the person making the joke is white and the targeted race is not. So although the Irish are correct that they're being stereotyped, our religion holds that harmful stereotypes against people without color are actually a good thing because they serve to knock Whitey down a peg and help him feel a small dose of the pain which actual racism has caused over the centuries. This is why, for example, the persistent jokes about gingers having no souls or about redheaded stepchildren or the repeated theft of supposedly Lucky Charms are always going to be acceptable to our movement because they only marginalize people without color. And jokes about PWCs will always be music to our ears. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, let us acknowledge the progress towards complete gender meaninglessness being made by Wellesley College, the elite liberal arts school in Massachusetts, where the all-female student body recently voted to expand admissions to include transgender men. Since 2015, the school originally founded as Wellesley Female Seminary, and one of the historic Seven Sisters schools, has allowed enrollment by those assigned male at birth who now identify as women, and those assigned female at birth who currently identify as non-binary. But this week's vote finally also makes space for women assigned female at birth but identifying as male for this week. This means that the alma mater of such notable women as Hillary Clinton, Madeleine Albright, Cokie Roberts, Diane Sawyer, Nora Ephron, and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas is now both highly exclusive in most ways, but also highly inclusive in at least one way. The full Monty is welcome, so long as it wasn't born that way. Yes, the new Wellesley College for Women, Almost Women, Former Women, and Womanly Men will henceforth only prohibit one group of people, those assigned male at birth who persist in the irrational practice of identifying as men. As a gesture of their commitment to eradicating all concept of gender except that which can be used against men, the college also voted to stop referring to themselves as women, but rather as students. Because clearly, it is no longer in vogue for a woman's college to be composed of women. Although we do applaud all of these changes, obviously, and celebrate our dear Wellesley otherin in their efforts to degender themselves, we do note how much pain could have been saved if this had only been done earlier. For those who may not know, one of the famous traditions at Wellesley is that upper class persons each have a large wooden hoop bequeathed to them by former alumni, which they roll across the campus while wearing their graduation robes each year in a competition, the winner of which was originally supposed to become the first to be married, then the first to become a CEO, and now to achieve success however she defines it. After the race, the winner is promptly thrown into Lake Waban by her classmates. Although this might seem like a strange reward, The tradition originated a few decades ago when a male Harvard student infiltrated the contest dressed as a woman and won the race, was subsequently unskirted, and dunked by the pearl-clutching feminists as punishment. Had Wellesley only been just a bit more enlightened at the time instead of so publicly othering the young drag queen, they would have simply offered to enroll the poor gender dysphoric transfer student into the Womine Studies program, as they would surely do today. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Gathered round. And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
8:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Gracie Wolf is in for Candy today on her last day with us this week, but she'll still be running Bobby's show and still doing her work at Cat Country, so always good to have you around. Grace,
sleep in on Monday. That's right.
Tell me what it's like. Gracie Wolf has traffic on the fives.
Well, our roads are looking good with I-10 and I-110 showing no delays. Pine Forest, Blue Angel, and Gulf Beach Highway also moving nicely. And Three Mile Bridge and Garcon Point Bridge showing no slowdowns. See something else on the roads? Give me a call to 850-2626-111. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping is big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Gracie. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A bipartisan group of high-ranking lawmakers now headed to Mexico. They're going to be meeting with the nation's president. Republican Senator John Cornyn says he wants to know why so many people on the national terror watch list are being caught crossing into Texas.
Part of the problem is that when you basically open your borders, you don't know who's going to be attracted.
New numbers showing there were 16 terror watch list arrests at the southern border last month alone. Activists demanding an investigation after another soldier was found dead at Fort Hood. Private Anna Basaldúa Ruiz claims she'd been sexually harassed by a superior. For many, that's bringing back memories of the Vanessa Guillen murder years ago. And President Biden celebrating St. Patrick's Day today with Ireland's prime minister. Biden will be joining Prime Minister Leo Varadkar in a series of holiday events, starting with breakfast this morning, celebrating the bond between our two nations.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 8:27 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? I hate to drop this on you on a Friday, but you want something that's going to make you real angry? I'm sorry. Just, you know, sometimes the world is full of crazy stories. And this is one of those, did you hear what they did in the classroom, you know, kind of stories. It wasn't here. Thank goodness. Not this time. Here you go. And this is just Oregon. Okay, Oregon. I lived in Oregon for a little while. I can own this a little bit. An Oregon high school was giving an assignment on writing for students who were absent from class. You know, they had to do a short story, a paragraph or two. And here I'm going to read to you the assignment. Are you prepared? This is bad. Okay, here's the assignment. For those students who were absent, you will write a short story of a paragraph or two. This story is a sexual fantasy. This is an Oregon high school assignment. This story is a sexual fantasy that will have no, N-O, capital, penetration of any kind or oral sex. No way of passing an STI. You will choose three items: romantic music, candles, massage oil, feather boa, flavored syrup, etc. Flavored syrup? To use in your story. Your story should show that you can show and receive loving physical affection without having sex. Now go. 10 points. Upload your file here. Good the what? See, here's the thing. You sometimes think that the stuff that conservatives are saying is going on in classrooms and in schools and in books, like, we're making it up, we're exaggerating, you know, surely it can't be that bad. Okay, it's not always this bad, but this is not rare. This kind of nonsense is, in the grand scheme of 100,000 classrooms, how many of them do stuff that's this bad? Not many. But do you know how many are doing things that are bad? In order for something like this to ever cross the mind of a teacher and have that person think, you know, I think this is a good assignment for the kiddos. Let's throw this one their way and see what they come up with. It's creative writing. It's about romance. Who wouldn't enjoy writing a 2 or 3 paragraph essay about the value of feather boa, flavored syrup, candles, massage oil? I'm done. That's it. Just be aware. Not everyone in public education has lost their mind, but there are some. Let's just say it that way. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. China's president's going to Russia next week, a show of support for Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Chinese President Xi Jinping will visit Russia from Monday to Wednesday, with the Russian invasion of Ukraine expected to dominate the discussions. China has tried to project itself as neutral regarding the invasion, even while refusing to condemn Russia's actions.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. California's San Quentin State Prison's getting a makeover. Death row inmates are being moved out.
Governor Gavin Newsom says the state's oldest prison will then be converted to a facility to rehabilitate prisoners and give them job training to become tradesmen or truck drivers, which are in short supply and pay well. It's not clear if or where there would be a new death chamber. California hasn't executed anyone since 2006. San Quentin's gas chamber was dismantled in 2019.
Fox of Jack Callahan stocks start the day lower on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 71 degrees right now. It's mostly cloudy in Pensacola. An Ensley woman currently sitting on death row is going to be pleading her case next week to try and get that execution thrown out. Tina Brown, her teenage daughter, and a neighbor were all convicted of a 2010 murder of 19-year-old Adriana Zimmerman. The girl was beaten with a crowbar, shocked with a stun gun, and ultimately set on fire. That attack reportedly stemmed from a dispute over a man. Brown now has filed motions claiming new evidence shows she was not the ringleader of that crime. Her hearing is set for next Wednesday here in Escambia County. Former local contractor Jesse Lacoste says he's planning to hire a private attorney. That was after a court appearance yesterday in Okaloosa County. Lacoste is facing charges of contractor fraud there. He was given the choice between hiring an attorney or being appointed a public defender. He's due back in court in May. He's also scheduled to appear in Escambia County on separate charges today and faces larceny charges in Santa Rosa County. That deadly workplace accident this week in Cantonment has been ruled an accident by the sheriff's office. OSHA continuing to investigate. So far, OSHA hasn't confirmed any details of their investigation, but they do list guidelines on their website that workplaces are supposed to enforce to prevent these types of fatal accidents. One of those is requiring an entry permit that includes identifying the hazards and precautions taken before entering a confined space, such as a cement mixer. So far, there's no word on if those measures were taken before the worker entered the cement mixer on Wednesday. The city of Pensacola's Parks and Rec Department has been awarded $1.7 million in grant money in support of an after-school program for city community centers. The grant was awarded this week by the Escambia Children's Trust. It'll allow the city to offer after-school programs at no cost to kids whose families qualify for free or reduced lunch. Well, still no arrests in the death of 23-year-old Ariel Thomas, who was shot leaving Club Climax last weekend. The city says there have been 3 murders at that club in the last 5 years. PPD's Mike Wood says it's definitely been a problem spot in the community.
We've been there hundreds of times over the years. We've had more than one homicide there, 3, in fact, in the last 5 years. So it is a problem spot. But, you know, there are calls to close it, and you know, that may or may not work. I can tell you that since the Pelicans Nest has been closed, we've had 0 problems from that location.
And Thomas was shot last Sunday morning, and since then there have been calls from community advocates to shut the nightclub down. Wednesday, Mayor D.C. Reeves said he planned to talk with the club's owners to discuss possible solutions. At least 24 Mar-a-Lago staff members have been subpoenaed to testify in the investigation of former President Donald Trump and his handling of classified documents. A CNN report says they range from members of Trump's inner circle at the property. Special counsel Jack Smith is leading the probe into Trump over the FBI's discovery of those materials during the search of Mar-a-Lago last year. Trump's legal team has turned over more classified documents since then. It is 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the 5s with Gracie.
No major slowdowns to report. I-10, I-110 looking good, as well as Pine Forest, Blue Angel, and Gulf Beach. Nothing to slow you down. 3 Mile Bridge, both north and southbound lanes are running smoothly. See something else? Give me a call at 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms as you go throughout the late morning into the afternoon hours. A few storms could be strong weather alert day because of the sphere threat. High near 77 degrees for today with lows dropping near 45. Showers and thunderstorms will come to an end by the overnight period, and we're going to be seeing a much calmer day on Saturday. High near 55 Saturday afternoon with a 40% chance of a stray shower. Saturday night temperatures dropping near 42, and by Sunday sunshine returns with a high near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 73 degrees. It is partly cloudy here in Pensacola. 70 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton. Your money now this morning. The Dow Jones is down again, another 214.73. Right now at 32.31.82. The S&P 500 down 16.10, 39.43.82. The NASDAQ down 31.13 at 11.686.14 this morning. Our 10-year bond rate at 3.466%. And gold is up today, right now at 19.53.20. Silver at 22.125. The holding company that owns Silicon Valley Bank is filing for bankruptcy. SVB Financial Group said Friday that they filed for a court-supervised reorganization under Chapter 11 protection to seek buyers for their assets. The Biden administration threatening to ban TikTok unless the app's owners sell their stakes in the company. TikTok CEO Shaozi Chu telling the Wall Street Journal, though, that a sale would not resolve America's national security concerns over the app. It's 8:37, News Radio 92.3. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, and this is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump, 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 jump. I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
That's a wrap. It is 8:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now is the time when we talk with a couple of friends here in studio about the issues of the week and just hang out like it's a coffee shop or a bar or both. I don't really care one way or the other. As long as we're drinking and talking, it's good. Joining me today, we've got a many-time participant on the wrap, Ray Walker, who is, let's see if I can get this right, he is the chairman of the board
for the Pensacola,
Pensacola Chamber.
I am.
All right.
Yes, sir.
And also, and he's filled in for me several times.
Absolutely.
Does a fantastic job. In his other life, he is a he's a talker. That's the word we like, right?
Isn't
the other word they don't like to use as much?
Lobbyist.
He's a lobbyist.
Yeah.
He talks to politicians.
I talk to politicians
for a living. And then the other person we have with us, it's been a little while since we've had him. I'm Michael Kimbrell, who is the director of the Washburn Center, and in my mind, one of the most important voices in dealing in talking about local issues regarding the homeless, because those are the folks he works with all the time. He operates the Satoshi Forest, the encampment on Massachusetts. Did I have that right? Yeah. And I mean, I've been there, but I just forget. So anyway, Michael, welcome back to the wrap.
Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. So let's start with that a little bit. Tallahassee, I know you and I, Ray, we can talk Tallahassee all day, but let's start with some of the homeless related stuff. I'm curious your take, because you and I haven't talked about this, the proposal to build a tax collector's office slash community center on the strip of land between the Brentwood Park across from the elementary school on Palafox, just south of Brent Lane, between the park proper and the church there, a place that has homeless activity in it. It's right down the road from the Washburn Center. I know you're very well familiar with this property. I'm supportive because I like the community center concept. And I have concerns about people being able to use that park with their kids, which they don't right now for obvious reasons. What are your thoughts?
So I think it's we're about to see us lose a green space, and that's a shame. And I don't think we're going to see a community center like you would think out of it.
Like a building that does community services as opposed to a real community center concept.
I've been in our tax collector's office that, you know, which is over at Marcus Point. Yeah. And I know the park, and I don't see how they're going to be able to build something the equivalent of that tax collector's office and have a community center attached.
Okay.
It's not feasible.
It's not that big of a strip of land. I've been curious to ask you this question, and I have you on, I want to. Do you feel the tension? Like, because the community looks at that park and says, we're supposed to be able to use that, and we don't feel safe bringing our kids there. Mm-hmm. I also recognize that there are not a lot of places for homeless people to go. And if you keep pushing them out of here and there and everywhere, there's some limit to how much we can do that. You know, as you working with that community so heavily, do you feel that tension and wish there was a way to have either both or more for the kids, basically?
I do, and this is why I'm upset that we're losing the green space, is that we can address homelessness. And I think we all agree that for over a decade, we have not, as a community, addressed homelessness, and it has caused this problem. And it's a shame that the community surrounding this park is applauding that we're going to lose the park to build a tax collector's office.
A part of the park, though. I mean,
it's all of the park. They're going to leave a playground.
I gotcha.
It's not there. We're losing the track, the baseball or the basketball courts, we're losing the park, the gazebos, the picnic tables, like all the things that constitute a park are going to be gone.
Gotcha.
And so,
right.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, losing a park, but if they're not using it, then we got to figure out a way to fix it. And if they're not feeling safe, but eliminating it completely, is that the best option?
Or largely. I apologize. I had thought
exactly.
I had thought that it was more that one strip of the green going off of Palafox toward the streets back there. I didn't picture it as being quite as big as you're talking about. So I'll have to but I appreciate that because I didn't think it was that much of a cut. But go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I think it's finding that balance. And is there a better way to make it a useful piece of land? But if you were putting the tax collector's office to point with the one on W Street, I mean, you know how
that's
busy
much
that
bigger.
Sucker is.
Right, yeah,
I mean,
cars. And right.
So if you're putting anything like that there, how much of the park is going to be usable anyways?
Which
What your point is, Michael, is the question. And I would, tax collector's office and the busyness of that, that does bring a lot of questions to my mind.
Something that actually you and I were talking before the show today is, Michael, you were telling me that, and I hadn't realized this, it was kind of one of those, oh, duh, obviously, but if you go east from Palafox toward the Washburn Center, at the end of that road and at the end of the road behind Brentwood, there's a large forest area back there, huge.
Yeah, roughly 40 acres.
Yeah, tract of land up against the railroad tracks. I never see that because you never see it when you're driving. Right, you could maybe infer it if you look down past like the storage units and that kind of stuff, but you never see it, okay, unless you go down to the end and maybe think about what's there. And so you were telling me that that's actually a very common. There's a lot of homeless camps back there.
Yes, sir, that there are.
And that's something that's they're now being cleaned out by the county.
They haven't started cleaning, but last week a magistrate ordered that the property be cleaned. And in that cleaning, it involved removing of abandoned vehicles, temporary structures or tents, campsites, and then just overall debris. You know, campsites a lot of times accumulate garbage around them as well.
So we've many times, you and Commissioner Bergosh, I know, I've also talked about this, that, you know, he's a big admirer of the Satoshi Forest concept. I am as well. You know, it doesn't sound like that's what was going on back there, but still, that's a lot of people. I mean, that is a lot of people who had found a place that was relatively out of the way, so out of the way that, you know, 1% of Pensacolians even knew the forest was there, basically, right? So what's going to happen to them?
That's what we're waiting to see. The order has been made, and it's how do we address it? We could heavily handed do it with law enforcement and just kind of push everybody out. But then that causes a problem for social workers and people working with this population. We lose them. We can't find them.
For feeding, for counseling, for services, for everything,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, and say I've been working on getting funding, and I get funding for this person. Now I have to find them to let them know we have that funding, and if we don't find them in a certain amount of time, the funding goes to someone else. And so it could further extend the amount of time they experience homelessness. But then we also have some really good, innocent people out there that keep clean camps that don't cause problems mixed in with all these knuckleheads and people that are causing the issues. And even this morning on my Facebook page, there was a lady who camps on this piece of property who responded to me on there saying that, you know, she knows the people that are causing the problems and has tried to help clean it up, but to no avail, and she's going to lose her place to live because of it.
We'll come back to this in a second, because this is really interesting to me. And, you know, maybe there's an answer on the horizon. I don't know. You know better than I do, but I want to ask you about it. We're talking to Michael Kimbrell and also Ray Walker here on The Wrap. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives from Gracie Wolf.
No slowdowns this Friday morning with I-10 and I-110 showing no delays, as well as Davis Highway, East Olive Road, Crane, and Langley looking good. And posted speeds on 98 throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre. Navarre, we do have a slight accident that's going to be right off of 87, but it's not causing any slowdowns. If you see something else, give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
Thanks so much, Gracie. So I know the idea of building a bigger, better, scalable version of Satoshi Forest, where it's not, what do you have, 15 or so campsites there?
Right, 15 to 20.
You know, if you had not 40 acres, but 20 acres or 10 acres. I mean, there's a lot that could be done on that land that's already being done that way, just maybe not as well as it should be. Is that feasible or viable, or has anybody even looked into that? I assume you have.
I mean, it would be feasible. I mean, I haven't really looked into, like, if the owners of that property would let me lease it to, to try to maintain the property and keep it to where it wasn't causing issues for the community.
Right. It just it suddenly struck me as people are already there. It's in proximity to the Washburn Center. It's people are blind to it. know, it's not like you're establishing a new thing. It seemed like maybe if we could just make it a little more official, you know, and bring some sort of, you know, safety to the property, that might make sense. Ray, let's switch gears a little bit. And before we do anything else, you need to know about what's going on with the community in your area or around the area, Michael, for the homeless issue, because it's just something we always talk about a lot, and it's important to talk about.
The only other thing I've got going on is I'm speaking tomorrow night at 309.
Oh, that's right.
We're doing a small event there, and I'm just going to talk about some other things going on more so in the downtown area.
I think you have billed it as being slightly more vociferous than your description just lit on. Mike knows how to be a diplomat when he needs to be, and he knows how to be a flamethrower when he wants to be, and you know, you choose your venue.
I do.
Right? Exactly. Very appropriately. Ray, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Tallahassee, and of course, Mike, you'll be a part of this too, but I think one of the more interesting ones that's come up, you know, there's a lot of interesting bills every year. The one that I'm the most fascinated by, honestly, is the partisan elections for school board members. You know, there's all of these changes regarding elections, like we're wanting to have recall for commissioners, which I support. It's a hard process. It's a difficult thing. But for the rare cases where there really is terrible behavior, I support it. We're talking about reducing the number of terms served for school board members from 12 to 8 and putting that limit same in for county commissioners. And also, you know, putting in this idea that you would have partisan races in school board that are now nonpartisan. So let's start with that one particularly. The fear is that making it a partisan election means people will do less homework on the actual candidates because they'll just vote by the letter, and also that you'll put more partisan bickering concerns into school board behavior and management than you already have. Your thoughts?
Well, we already have that.
I agree.
We already have partisan bickering. So if you don't, if you pay any close attention, you know what the candidate is.
Right.
As in their party affiliation. It doesn't take, you know, much to figure that out. So we already have partisan bickering. Now, the fear
Are you sure the school board meetings have partisan disagreements? Are you I just want to be sure we're all hearing the same statement. Are you confident in that claim?
I think I'm pretty safe to say that one there, but
I'll second.
That's a 1,000% yes.
That's a 1,000% yes. But the you know, The one problem, and I do, like you said, the fear is that now we just look, well, what's the letter after their name? Now I don't have to do my homework. But the one question that I get, and I heard the testimony and the sponsor of the bill give a lot of this conversation.
Spencer Roach, I think.
And you played it on your show, I think, yesterday. Or, and the fact that they're already... The one question I get more than anything, because I pay attention to politics, obviously. Right. So people come to me, okay, what do you know about so-and-so? The first one is, what's their party affiliation?
Huh.
That's one of the first things, especially whether it's school board, and I know they mentioned judges as well.
Yep.
Those are the two things people don't know anything about because it's not officially listed anywhere.
Right.
And unless you can find it out or know where to go, that's the question. So,
or you know
there?
That this candidate who's running this year for school board, that guy ran for commission previously under, you know, which happens, and you can remember that things. Or, you know, to take a real obvious example, Grover Robinson, who was a Republican county commissioner, ran for nonpartisan mayor because it's not a partisan office. Well,
everybody
it's not like
knew.
We suddenly forgot that he was a Republican.
Everybody knew.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so when I answer those questions, that's the first thing. So we already have it, so why not make it official? And I think that's what the sponsor was saying, and I agree with that, actually. And I do question the term limits, though. They just set 12 years, and now they're even before it's had a chance to take effect or have any, now we're going to 8.
It's kind of a way of saying what we really wanted all along
was this. So we opened the door, now we're going to walk all the way through it.
Right.
This is where we want
to be. Which we're seeing in other legislation, too. I mean, last year there was so much fighting over the parental rights bill. Mm-hmm. The bill critics called the Don't Say Gay bill. I thought that was a really – it was a very effective but very inaccurate – label.
Absolutely.
But okay, fine.
Yeah.
That was K-3, right? You couldn't talk about sex in K-3. Well, the bill this year is K-8.
Yep. Which is where they wanted it.
Which is what they wanted in the beginning anyway. And I think everybody knew that.
Yep.
But it's very easy to make the case. Why do you need to be talking about this stuff to 7-year-olds? Okay, well, now we don't want to talk about it to 12-year-olds either. Well, we kind of knew this was going there anyway, but I mean, make it look better. Wait 2 years at least. You know, it's kind of transparent. So, Michael, your thoughts about the partisan school board elections?
No, I fully agree with that. That we already see the bickering and the infighting, and so we might as well, you know, wear the brand on their shirts.
We have this weird notion that when we have a nonpartisan, and I don't think you feel that about like city council where it's nonpartisan, but definitely when it comes to the school board, we have this kind of mythology in our heads that, well, the school board's the nice place. You know, like the school board is the neutral,
you
safe
watch our school board
oh,
meetings,
no, I'm,
right?
I'm saying, I think people feel like, well, that's supposed to be the decency, you know, closet or something. And it just, it's certainly not that way. It never has been that way. Education is like one of the highest friction points for conflicting values in our society 100%. Because it's no longer you and me as adults. Yep. It's what happens to our kids who all have to be together in a room. I mean, it's obviously a source of conflict, but I think people have this almost romanticized notion about, you know, what schools are and what school boards do. And again, have you watched one?
You know? One of the things I found it interesting in listening to the argument in the presentation in committee was we had partisan races till 2000.
For like 150 years.
It wasn't even like, that's not that long ago.
And it came as a bundle. It came as one of the bundled amendments from the Constitution Revision Commission. Right.
Which, if most people realize that, I say, well, then why did we, the question would be, then why did we change it?
Yeah.
And I think that it was changed by the Constitution Commission, which, well, we know how that goes.
Well, and I mean, you know, and again, not to rehash everything we did yesterday, but look, Democrats felt like they were losing power in Florida.
Right. Yep.
And well, if we can't stay in power by identifying as D's, we'll try to hide the identification and maybe we'll get lucky.
Yep.
And I mean, that's politically savvy, but just maybe not what the voters want. One of the other issues, and I'll bring you in a little bit more on this one, Michael, is we're again fighting about transgender issues. It seems like that's the highest flashpoint right now in the culture wars. Is what should happen with students, what should happen with minors, what happens in schools, bathrooms, changing rooms, all of this stuff is on the table. The who's the organization all of a sudden? ACCA came out with the, maybe not ACCA, excuse me, but we came out with the, it's now a rule that you cannot perform sexual changes, gender-affirming care, what one side says, sex change operations or medicine is what the other side would say, that's for minors, not in Florida anymore. And now there's a law proposed to kind of put that in place, as opposed to rulemaking to actually put it in place as a law. I find myself incredibly conflicted on this topic. I want parental rights. I believe in parental rights. The parent is in the best position to make decisions for children. But there are certain decisions we don't let parents make for their children. You know, there are all kinds of things that if you do this stuff for your kids, with your kids, to let your kids do, and we take those kids away. And this is one of those, like, right on the edge of those two value sets. I'm going to take a real quick break. We'll come back to this question in a second. Gracie has traffic on the fives.
We have slowdowns on 29. That's going to be going towards Muskogee Road in both directions. Just expect some delays there. But other than that, we're looking good. I-10 and I-110, no delays in posted speeds in Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre on 98. See something else, give me a call at 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
Thanks, Gracie. So my perception is that minors are too young to know an awful lot of things, mm-hmm. and therefore too young to make permanent or semi-permanent changes to their own physiology. As adults, look, I might not understand it. I might think that it's weird, but as an adult, it's a very different thing. And to me, that's kind of the issue. Michael, working with, there's all range of people that are homeless. Transgenderism is certainly common enough among homeless persons. What's your sense about that? Is it, and feel free to say you don't know, but your thoughts.
So, for me, this is a health issue. And that we give parents the ability to make decisions for their child's health care. And scientifically, gender is a spectrum. And if you are making decisions with your doctor, I believe that government needs to stay out of it. It's that simple.
My position on that one is... children's health care or the parent rights. I mean, there's so many things that as a parent you're required to sign off on for your kid.
Of course.
Surgery being one of the main ones.
Right.
So when you're dealing with this issue, to guarantee, you know, as a parent, no, you have to have a say in this and a right, just kind of goes along with everything that we already have. It's, I don't know that it expands it or changes it as much as it says, no, this is, you already have this right. You can't even go in and get, you know, your... you know, appendix taken out if you're underage without your parents signing. How can you go in and get a gender or whatever without it?
Well, the way I understand it, and I may be wrong, but the bill as proposed in the rulemaking as opposed is they can't. Like, parents are prohibited from, is the idea.
Well, on the federal level, but on the state level, they're guaranteeing the right, if I'm understanding.
Okay, I may be wrong. You're the Tallahassee guy, but my reading of the bill is that they're banning it. They're making it so that you cannot make this choice for kids.
The kids can't get it. Period.
That's right.
Yes.
No, much like I can't give my kids drinks. Yeah. If I think that they're old enough to handle alcohol, I'm not supposed to. You know, there are things that even as a parent,
there's certain things.
Even if I were to believe, for example, that it was a health benefit to them, you know, I can't claim that because, well, this is the law. Now, I know. Gender reassignment surgery is very different from having a drink of wine, but there are limits to what you can choose for your kids based on what we believe is harmful to them, even though adults, you know, might engage in this behavior. Well, last thing I will ask you, just because, you know, here we are, it is St. Patrick's Day. Michael is not wearing green, but he has an opt-out.
He does.
What's your opt-out, Michael?
I have enough tattoos in green that I have green skin.
And he proved it already. He showed me it. Was it a Medusa? Is that what that was? Or a Kraken? I'm not sure what that
is. It does.
It's a woman's head with spider legs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not something I've seen recently. So, okay.
I have plenty of roses and flowers with leaves and all sorts of stuff.
Ray? Ray is wearing green, by the way.
I am wearing green, and I have to, my wife can attest to this. I was listening to the show before when I was getting ready this morning, and I put on a not green shirt.
Uh-huh.
And I went back and changed and put on a green shirt. Because I looked at her and go, there's no way I'm walking into studio after Andrew's been talking about it. And Gracie's in, no way I'm walking into studio without a green shirt on. I will
and Gracie attest. Even admitted as much. She said she borrowed a sweater in order to not get made fun of by me all day.
I said to my roommate, I will not be the butt of the joke.
That's right.
I feel so known.
Won't let it go.
I feel so known that she could predict that.
I hadn't thought
this,
about
this
it.
This is why I love talking to people who disagree with me. Michael, thank you for joining us. Ray, as always, thank you.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.